Okay, so I heard recording is in progress. So, hi, I'm Babs, grateful recovering compulsive overeater, sugar substitute addict. And I add that I used to be just artificial sweeteners, but it's any kind of substitute. So, I like to start with some show and tell because this is what my body has had the capacity to look like, and to wear something like this at my biggest, which was 252 pounds. Okay. Currently, I'm down about 130 something pounds. Okay. And I've been at a healthy body weight for probably about 5 years now. I have a story that I wish I could say I came in when I came in and stayed in all these years, because I came in, I'm gonna say somewhere around 1986. Okay. And I thought I had this when I came in. And I don't even know how I found the doors of OA, but I found it. And I had already lost from that top weight a significant amount of weight, probably about 90 pounds, from going to a registered dietitian, having a very healthy food plan. She taught me how to use the measuring cups, the scales, behavior modification, all of that. All right. Then I found, once I stopped classes, class was 8 weeks, I signed up again. Then I signed up again. I went 24 weeks solid doing this. And I figured I can do this. Well, wouldn't you know? I didn't know I wasn't a normal person. I thought I could eat whatever I want one day a week, which was Sunday. So, hey, I started out with items from the bakery. And if I started to doze off at 11:30, boom, my eyes would pop open again. What's left to eat before midnight? Because I'm not doing this again. Because every week I'd say, I'm not doing this again. So I found the doors of OA. Okay, so I'm going to back all the way up. I have probably been addicted to food and sweets since I was a toddler in my high chair. My mother had a, my daughter has it now. My mother had a picture of me sitting in my high chair with a dish of the sweets in it. It's crystal candy dish. I didn't care about the dish. I cared about what was in it. I was a toddler. And in looking at this, she said it looked like my eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. I don't remember a time when I wasn't eating inappropriately. And I started to put on weight when I was about 7 years old. And I remember being a kid and being uncomfortable with it. I mean, it wasn't huge or anything, but I remember those times, like my father would take me fishing. This had to be before I was 7 years old, that I was afraid I was going to sink the floating dock. Okay. And when I was a brownie and the brownies moving over into Girl Scouts, I thought my weight would collapse that little bridge that they had. So I've been aware of it my whole entire life. I don't remember as a kid anybody saying anything to me about it. None of that. So, and I'd say that's the way I grew up, except looking back, I never really grew up. My family was dysfunctional. My father was an alcoholic. He functioned, he had a job, he did what he needed to do, but he wasn't a pleasant one when he drank, which was frequently. And I remember being scared from the time I was a child. And I guess I found my comfort in food. And I know that as a kid, as a preteen, and then probably as an early teen, I was trying those same diet programs that my mother was always on. You know, the grapefruit diet, this diet, that diet, those AYDS, AIDS diet candies, you know, the little square things that are going to fill you up. They didn't fill me up. Nothing filled me up. So, you know, I went to high school, did all the things, and I'm so grateful that my mother was such an excellent seamstress, because she never she made all our clothes, all of our clothes. And I'm talking, she could make anything. So I never felt funny about that. The only time I did is when I was inducted into the Color Guard in high school, and they didn't have a blazer jacket big enough for me. So my mother made me one. And I remember, and I'm sure many of you do too, being embarrassed in health class when they would put you on the scale in September to do your, you know, checkup, And they would call out that weight, okay? And I remember being in high school, 169 pounds. I'm 71 years old. I still have never forgotten that. So did all that stuff. Started dating, who turned out to be my first husband when I was 17. Married him at 18, 2 weeks out of high school. Wasn't pregnant. He was an older guy. I was 18. He was 7 years older than me. So I moved from down the shore to a 2.5 room apartment in Jersey City. Culture shock galore. I knew nobody except him. Okay. We had one car. He worked shift work, and he worked a lot of overtime. Wasn't working, none of that. So food became my companion, my best friend. And he didn't care that I was overweight. It didn't bother him in the least. So I would walk to the local stores and buy my stuff, whatever I could get my hands on, eat it, do whatever I had to do with the wrappers and get them ready to go in the garbage. Well, the main garbage was downstairs, two floors down, into the basement where there was an occasional rat. And I'm going to have to tell you, I was more afraid of getting snagged and caught, knowing that I was an eater, than I was afraid of those rats. So, I mean, what does that speak to you about all of this? So I'm going to fast forward some more. We moved. I got pregnant, had my kid 6 weeks, not 6 months later, I was pregnant again. Okay. I had two babies. By the time my older one was 10 and a half months old, I had two babies that weren't walking in diapers, living in a third floor attic apartment in Jersey City, cut off from everybody. So I ate. Not only did I eat, I was so overwhelmed with being a mother. I didn't know how to cope. I had really nobody to ask. My mother was down the shore. She needed to work. My father had passed. My sister was in Pennsylvania busy. Okay. So my coping mechanism was food and trying to control by yelling. I was a yeller. I mean, there was babies in the house and I'm yelling. I'm yelling. Who does that? A sick person, somebody who was not mature enough to be there, but I was in that position, I think, because I just wanted to get out of the house, just like my brother and sister did when we turned 18. So my kids were getting a little bit older. We moved into a small house to Lawrence Harbor again. Now the husband's commuting plus working the overtime. Now I have two young children, small house. Now I'm taking care of the house, taking care of this, I'm taking care of that. I wish I could say I was taking great care of myself. And I really wish I could say I was taking great care of my children because I was not. Okay. And I was on a diet, and I was not on a diet. I was baking and eating and sneaking and lying and doing all those things that a compulsive eater does. So dieted again, thought I looked pretty good. And found myself a new husband because this is going to change everything. Here's my kids, new husband, new household. Guess what? Same me, same me. Now you throw in another kid in the mix when the other two were, like 6 and 7. Now I'm running a household, got a new husband, got a new this. Now I got three kids. I don't know what to do with any of them. So I'm yelling and I'm eating and I'm yelling and I'm eating. And this part used to be really embarrass me to say those things, but that's who and what I was. I didn't know what I was doing. So then in 1998, 1981, I went to that registered dietitian, learned all I needed to know, or so I thought. I was desperate, came into OA. And if it's okay, I'd like to read this. This is the original version of the welcome home that I heard at my very first meeting. Have you ever wished you could lose 10 pounds, 20, 40, or 100 or more? Have you ever wished it once you got it off, you could keep it off. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. Have you ever felt out of step with the world? Have you sometimes felt like a homeless orphan without a place to really belong? Welcome to OA. Welcome home. Have you ever wished your family would get to work or school so you could get busy eating? Welcome to OA. Welcome home. Have you ever wakened first thing in the morning and felt happy because you remembered that your favorite goodies were waiting for you in the fridge or the cupboard? Again, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. Have you ever wanted to hide in the house with getting cleaned up, getting dressed without seeing anyone and certainly without anyone seeing you? Have you ever hidden food under the bed, under the pillow, in a drawer, in the bathroom, and in the waste basket, in the car, so that you could eat without anyone seeing you. Have you ever sobbed out your misery in the dark just because no one loved or understood you? Have you ever felt that God, if he existed at all, made his biggest mistake when he created you? If you say yes, you belong to OA. This is your home. Do you ever want to get on a bus and just keep going without ever once looking back? Did you do it? Welcome to OA. Welcome to me. Have you ever lied to yourself or to another about what you ate or how much you ate of it? Have you ever lied to your sponsor or another OA member about how you were doing on your program? Do you belong here? Is this your home? Have you ever worn a mask or hundreds of masks because you were sure that if you shared the person you really were, no one could ever love or accept you? Welcome to OA. It is anonymous. Welcome home. No matter who you are, where you are coming from or heading, you are welcome and accepted here, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have felt or haven't felt, no matter where you have slept or who you have slept with, loved or hated. We extend acceptance. We accept you as you are today, not as you may be tomorrow. Only you can decide what you want to be, but we will rejoice with you. And when you slip, we will tell you that we are not failures just because we sometimes fail. We will hold out our arms in love, stand beside you as you pull yourself back up and walk again, walk on again to where you are heading. You'll never have to cry alone again, unless you choose to. Sometimes we fail to be all that we should be, and sometimes we aren't there to give you all you need from us. Accept our imperfections too. Love and accept us in return and help our sometimes failings. That's what we are in OA, imperfect but trying. Let's rejoice together in our efforts and the assurance that we can have a home if we want one. An OA home and welcome to. Thank you for allowing me to read that. I will never forget how I felt when I first heard that. And I like to wear this shirt when I speak because I don't know if you can see it or not. It says, I believe in possible. And because of walking through the door of OA, I do believe in possible because I see what it gave me, what it did for me, and how people change. So I came in, I got a sponsor, I had a food plan, I went to meetings, I committed my food, I became a sponsor, I did the things that I thought I needed to do. I worked the steps with a step sponsor as best I could at that time. Was it what I really needed? No. I guess it was at the time. Well, sponsors come, they go. Mine moved away, didn't replace her. I started to fall away. And I have to tell you, I walked away. I walked away after 10 years in these rooms. I walked away and I stayed away, stayed all the way away for 20 years. And in that time, let's see, divorced my second husband the first time, married a third husband, remarried my second husband, so he's now 2/4. Divorced him again, married a fifth husband. I'm currently married to my sixth husband. We've been married 17 years now. And I think the only reason we're still married and we're happily married today is because I'm back in these rooms. I came back in 2019, belated Mother's Day gift to myself. And I came in these rooms and said, you have another 20 years. I don't have another 20 years. Now, of course, I had during that time a change in husbands, I changed jobs, I changed careers. I must have moved 15 different times. And you know what? I changed all of those things. But in that time, I never changed what really needed to be changed, which was me. They weren't the problem. I was the problem. And everywhere I went, I took me with me. So, I'm back in the rooms. And when I came back in this time, I realized that this really is the last house on the block. There is no place else to go. I have tried every diet, every sup. I never tried the pills and shots because they weren't available to me, but I'm sure I would have. But all that other stuff, I mean, the shakes, the meal replacements, fasting with supplements, that whole thing. I take off the weight, put some back on, take off the weight, put some back on. I can say, honestly, I never put all that weight back on, but it sure was enough. sure was enough. And it wasn't just the physical weight, it was all the rest of the weight. So I came back in the rooms in May of 2019 and I got myself a sponsor because I knew I cannot do this alone. Not kept the same sponsor the whole time. First one I realized didn't even have an OA sponsor herself, but she said she was a sponsor. So I'm latching on to somebody just so I have somebody to report to on a daily basis because I know I need to be accountable. So I'm with my current sponsor now. I've had other sponsors. One needed to drop me for her own reasons. I've had my current sponsor about 2.5 years now. I'll tell you what, I work the steps. I work the steps every day. I've done it the big book way this time around. I've done it the workbook way. I just finished a pretty much of a year workbook study thing on Thursday nights with a group of fellows, which was awesome. Awesome. I use the tools of the program on a daily basis. I have a plan of meeting. I write it down. I send it to my sponsor. I stick to it like glue. Okay. I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. I go to meetings in person, online. I do writing. I always said, well, writing my food plan and my action plan counts. I recently started using the Voices of Recovery workbook, which has a space to write in every day. I do that. It's helping. I read the literature every day and I pick up more and more. And I have probably every piece they have. I have an action plan and I stick to it. Okay. I don't put on it more than I can more and accomplish in a day. Occasionally there's a little slippage there, but not with the food. Anonymity, I respect everyone's anonymity here. I'm a proud member of Overeaters Anonymous, a proud member. And I would share it with anybody. And I don't care who says, you see that one over there? She's been a nut. She's way less nutty now. So I am service. Do I do service? Yes, I do. When a service was kind of thrust upon me when I first came back, because the one who had the key in their literature at the time said, I've done it for 2 years. It's your turn. You take it. So now I need to show up every week because I have the literature bag and the key. What am I going to do? So I continue to do service. I put myself in the positions where I do Zoom security hosting. I lead meetings. I have keys for meetings. Currently, I'm intergroup rep for my Whiting in-person meetings. I've been secretaries. I've been treasurers. Do I love all those positions? No. But they have one thing in common. They keep me coming back. And they also give me purpose. They give me purpose. And I use the telephone. I forgot that too. I use the telephone every day. I have an accountability partner. We read three meditation books every single day. We're going on 7 years of some of these readings in the fall. We'll be hitting seven. We haven't missed a day. No matter who's traveling, she's been in the hospital. Doesn't matter. Whatever day it is, we're still compulsive overeaters and we want recovery more than anything else. So I have mended relationships through working the steps. I have relationships that have surpassed anything I could ever have imagined with the people that I already have in my life. My husband and I not only share a lot of things, we now also have spiritual intimacy because I went back to church, found a church. He wanted to go. Now we're involved in that too. So I now live a life I never could have imagined. So I was thrilled to death to be able to speak here tonight, even though I have to tell you, I'm just as nervous as I was the first time. And I shared that with my sponsor. I said, it's not like I'm a virgin with this. So of course she laughed, you know, so I'm not, but it does. It just makes me nervous because I'm always afraid that sheer stupidity will roll off my lips. And I always pray on my knees before I do this. God, let the words come out of my mouth from my heart that at least one other person needs to hear. So I hope something made sense to someone. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. And with that, I will pass.